Welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we cover the late pick five from Gulfstream on Saturday, February 27th. This is show number 109, February 26th, 2021. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Laramie. Hey, Chris, how are you this morning?
Doing great. The blizzard is gone. It's a thing of the past. The weather's back to normal. I've been digging into this 14-race, 7-hour-long Gulfstream Park Fountain of Youth card, and there are some definitely interesting races to talk about, and I'm looking forward to the discussion.
7 hours, eh? I did notice that when I scheduled the races on Sport of Kings, the Fairgrounds and Oaklawn races go off before the features go off before the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they have like 35 minutes between races and why they thought they needed 14 races. But yeah, it's a marathon card. Hopefully you will, if you want to follow along this card, you also have a few other tracks you're playing because you'll have plenty of time between races.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to Round 2, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get Tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly Round 1 begins. If you join the Tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck. And we have a special returning guest. He's the chief trips officer of TripNote Pros, and he recently finished second in the FloCal Face-Off on horse tourneys, winning over $80,000. He's Benny Southstreet. Benny, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be with you. I'm glad that I didn't burn a bridge. If I got a repeat invite, that's a good sign because that normally doesn't happen for me.
Well, you know, you have some connections because the NTRA, you're supplying the TripNote Pros, the trip notes for the NHC free contest on March 6th. Am I correct?
We are. We're going to do that. Looking forward to it. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit of a pinch at the last minute because I don't think I'll know what races they'll have for that contest until maybe 2 days before. But we'll get it done and looking forward to getting some good content out there for all the players that get to that contest.
Damn, I didn't watch a single replay for today's races because
yeah,
I was thinking like, hey, Benny's going to be on. I'm going to let him do the work.
Right? Yeah, you were talking about how long the card was. What's that?
Isn't that your slogan, let us do the work?
Yeah, that's true. Stay lazy. That's good for our business. But, you know, when you were talking about how long the card was, like, I almost was tearful when I brought up the PPs because I saw 14 races and then I printed the form and it took like 45 minutes just to print the form. So it was like, I had a nice long cry before I dug in and did the work.
Well,
it's good to have a good cry every now and again.
I get the feeling that you're doing Gulfstream this weekend.
I am. I'm actually doing both now. We had doing all these trips is not for the faint of heart. So I'm doing both tracks now, to be honest with you. So we've got someone else lined up, which I hope we can get going soon. But for the, I hope, short time being, I'm actually carrying the entire load right now. So my back's a little bit sore.
So if you fall asleep in the middle of the show, we'll understand why.
Yeah, I don't even like sleeping anymore because, to be honest with you, when you watch all these replays, like, there are a lot of them, you literally start dreaming about horse racing and trips, and it's like, man, I wish I could just dream about Hawaii or snorkeling or golf or something else. But, like, I see goggles flipping and jockeys dropping whips and horses trampling geese on the backstretch. It's a bizarre time in my brain when I go to sleep these days.
Well, we did bring you some real nice karma the last time we talked to you, so you should definitely play in a contest or make, you know, play the pick five or pick six or something, because you definitely cashed in after talking with us last time.
Yeah, it's like the old Jim Rome show, right? You got to have good karma. So the guys that get on the air seem to always do well. So hopefully that plays forward again in this card.
And on that note, Benny, because you did so well in that contest, and I keep seeing your name winning other entries into future contests, like, what's your secret? Is it Trip Notes Pro, or is it something else? Like, okay. what's your strength in these contests? Because you're hitting them.
It's just one of those stretches where both things happen. Those things being the work you put in, the work, and then good fortune. I've been lucky. I mean, the FloCal tournament, you know, that was more luck than it was anything. I did grind to stay in a position to where I could do well, but in the end, had I been near the top of the leaderboard, there's no way that I'm taking that horse in the last race. So it was almost a disadvantage for some of the people to be within, you know, just a few dollars of the lead, because, you know, it's a hard thing to pull the trigger on a horse that is probably a fringe horse in some people's minds. When you're close to the leaderboard, it's a very difficult thing to do. So that was more good luck than anything. And yeah, I've just put in a lot of time, as you might guess. So there's no, you know, I said at the beginning of the year, I was probably going to make a little run at the tour just because I was doing the work anyway, and it made sense to do it. You know, it's a grind. I've done it before. And I actually ended up kind of quitting because over 6 months time doing it, I was like, you know, this is too much. You're traveling and everything. But now that I'm sitting here at my computer all day, might as well give it a go. So far, so good. It's only, what is it, February 26th or so? But, yeah, so far, so good. We'll see what happens.
All right. Chris, did you have any questions for Benny before we get started?
No, I want to get started so we can get through the show before he falls asleep.
All right. Let's see. I have my notes. And I have my notes from last week. Hey, it's 12% takeout at Laurel.
Hey, okay. I bet you we can get all the winners.
You know, I really like a long shot on that Babs Fritchie. All right, well, let's start with the Gulfstream Late Pick 5 on Fountain of Youth Day. It starts with the 10th race, which is an allowance optional claimer, a mile and 16th on turf, purse of $65,000 for four-year-olds and up. Benny, where did you land here?
You know, I don't have a strong play here, but I'm kind of going to I'm going to lean, I think, a little bit on the 9 Street Ready. I thought this one was forging nicely. It's kind of that puppy 3-year-old, which is a pretty good indication oftentimes of how they might improve as they get older. So I thought Street Ready was interesting. I did feel like it was going to set up for a closer. There's a couple speeds in here that should set things up properly for a nice horse coming from off the pace. I think Saif's got one way to go. He's really fast. I think he wants no part of a mile. And I think someone's going to have a good opportunity here. I thought Malibu Mambo was interesting on tape. I thought he just got a pitiful ride last time. He was in a perfect spot. He was drawn well. and he was saving ground. And then for whatever reason, the rider decided to get off the rail, and he just had a mess of a time in the far turn, getting stuck wide, and that shouldn't have happened. So I think if that was a nice prep, first time for Jose Corrales, and rider sticks, and hopefully he changes his mind and sits a nice trip and doesn't leave where he was last time, because he did put in a nice run late, and I think he's got a chance as well. 9 would probably be my top pick. The 3 would probably be my second choice. And I thought the 1 was a little interesting as well. Failed experiment with these 2 distance races last time, and he was in good form for a very good trainer prior to those 2 marathons. So I thought he was a little bit interesting. I don't have the morning line. I print my forms way in advance, but I've got to assume he's going to be a big number. So 9-3-1 for me.
Okay, Street Ready, not trained by Ian Wilkes, not really known to hit off the layoff, but sometimes he does do it, and I will definitely use that horse. Chris, where did you land?
Well, I have a question for Ryan just about the pace. I agree, Saif's going, but who's going to push the horse on the front end? I didn't see anybody that would challenge him.
Well, I thought Alma Shriek could inject some pace into that race. He got knocked around a little bit at the start, and those 2 previous one-turn races are quick. He seems like the logical tracker to me, and he'll probably catch some money with those connections. But Saif's he's kind of a runoff. There may not need to be anybody. Usually what happens when you get these runoffs is you get people fighting for that tracking position. So I think that might happen, and the field might get stretched out a little bit. It's just this is the joy of handicapping. It's just a guess. But with him in the race, I think anything is really possible for him, because it might just inject that second quarter a little bit. So, yeah, that's where I stood from a pace perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I'm kind of playing it the other way. I don't think Alma Shriek's really interesting horse to me, because it's sort of a turf horse that came to the U.S. They tried it on the dirt. You can kind of see why, given the breeding, you'd think it could maybe turf or dirt, and it ran pretty well in the dirt. But it had some physical issues, and now it's in a new barn with Maker, who's definitely a turf route kind of guy. He's not the kind who likes to send horses on the dirt. You got Tyler Gaffleone, who's a pretty conservative rider. He's not a send type rider. I just got to think their strategy here is to stock and not try to push the pace. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if that horse runs a big race. I think that's a live horse, Alma Shriek. But I also think Saif could shake loose early. And to me, they sprint the horse, but the only time it's ever gone a mile, it got to slow it down a little on the front end and it went wire to wire. And I don't see why it couldn't do that in here as well. I mean, back in December of 2019, it was the only time it's ever been a mile, and it won. It won by 3 lengths, and it just galloped all the way around. So I think it could do that again in here. I don't think they're going to try to push with Alma Shriek. I don't think there's anybody else who could or wants to go with him. So those 2, I think, might run 1-2 all the way around. I agree with you on Street Ready. I agree with Scott. To me, Street Ready is a really live horse, but the trainer doesn't tend to send him out to fire first off the layoff. Doesn't mean this one couldn't, so I would use it. But I definitely would play that horse back if it gets tired or has a tough trip from that outside post. So those 3 all interest me, and there's a few others too in this race. It's pretty wide open, but I'll stop there and let Scott weigh in before I jump in with any other opinions.
And real quick, if I could ask you, Chris, one of my knocks on Saif was that Saif is leaving. Does that bother you at all? Because he doesn't land anywhere, and he rides a lot for Pletcher.
He's riding at Oaklawn. He's got.
Oh, he is. Okay, is that why? Okay, I didn't realize that.
Well, and gotcha. Also, Castellano's always been a Pletcher guy.
Yes,
he's been hurt, and he came back. So, no, that doesn't bother me at all.
Gotcha. Okay, I didn't realize Saez was gone. See, I need more sleep.
All right, I'm just looking up Ian Wilkes turf stats, over 180 days off for four-year-olds and older. And he is 3 for 18, 17%, but an ROI of only 0.95. So definitely not his strength, but the price is going to be tasty on the horse. And I think you have to include him. I ended up landing on, and I was out late last night. I'm in LA. I was visiting my son. We did a rooftop bar situation thing with last night. It was great. It was the Wayfarer Hotel. So if anybody is interested in some good eats and drinks and heated everything and like social distant, it's a great place to go. It's pricey, but it's worth it. But thanks to that, I had to rip through my handicapping. And I thought in this race, you had to go deep. I'm going to choose Blameless on top because I had him in his last race. He's 2 for 2. He's undefeated on Lasix. And he, of course, gets Lasix again because this is a claiming race, an optional claiming race. So I'm going to play him to keep going at 15-1. But I'm just going to, in the pick five, I'm going to go deep here. And I would also use Clear Vision, Opry, Malibu Mambo, Saif, Bodie Cream, Street Ready, and Angelus Warrior, because I think any of those horses can win. I mean, any of them. And some of those horses are going to go off a big price. Angelus Warrior is, I think, like 8-1 morning line. The horse could easily go off 20-1. So go deep. That's and then hopefully Chris likes some of those horses that I just mentioned.
Ryan, go ahead and jump in before I do, if you have any other opinions.
Yeah, I mean, I gave you those top three. You make a good case for a few of these others. I can't pronounce that. Alma Shriek is a little bit interesting. I might add him. But yeah, I'm still probably against Saif, but he's going to get it all his own way. So if he wins, it wouldn't surprise me and he'll break my heart, but I'm going to go with those other four. So I'll add Alma Shriek, 1, 3, 6, and 9 for me.
Yeah. And you know, Saif, I actually took Saif off my list, but I haven't printed my scratch sheet. And after Chris mentioned him, I went to peek at his morning line. He's 6-1. So if he was something like 5-2, because he always got over bet as a Chad Brown horse, and now he's a Pledger horse, so he always gets bet. But if he's actually 6-1, then he is kind of an include, especially given the pace scenario that Chris laid out.
Yeah, I agree that it's a wide open race, and there's actually you named a lot of horses, but two of them you didn't name are probably the other two that I like besides the ones I've mentioned before. One of those is the 7-horse Kananos, who is another coming off a layoff, but he ran some good races as a 3-year-old for Brad Cox. Brad Cox is good off the layoff. So, you know, that horse wouldn't shock me at all if he runs well. And then finally, kind of on the outside, a tough post, the 11-hole. But First Premio's got all kinds of back class, and they've gelded him. And he comes off a layoff for Cassie, who's been pretty hot lately. And, you know, if he runs back to the races he had as a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old, he definitely could win. So, you know, I'm looking at horses like Alma Shriek, Kananos, Street Ready, First Premio, 6, 7, 9, 11. Those are all horses coming off layoffs. They all might need a race. But, you know, one or more of them might fire, and if they do, they could win. And they're all pretty good prices on the morning line. And then Saif is sort of the tactical play, the one who might clear. And the only, you know, they treated him like a sprinter, like a runoff, sort of like Ryan said. But the only mile race he ran, he won. And a lot of times these types, they want to be free running, but if they get out in the lead, they'll relax. And in sprint races, they tend to take pressure all the way around. And every once in a while, they catch a sprint race where they don't catch pressure and they win. But they're the kind that when you stretch them out and they can kind of cruise at a little bit slower speed without taking any pressure, they might hang on. That, to me, might be Saif. And we'll find out, I think, tomorrow. If he clears early and does win, you might see him stick around for some more, you know, two-turn races Or maybe he's just a sprinter that needs a slow pace, which isn't the best kind of sprinter out there. So we'll find out.
Yeah, but going two turns at Gulfstream with Castellano, and he wins. And he's flat. The comment is flashed whip. So he won with a hand ride and a mile. So why not?
Yeah, and Castellano's very aggressive. That's sort of always been his trademark. He hasn't been the Clips Award type winning rider in recent years, but I think he's going to be eager to show, to really do well coming off an absence. So, we'll see. It's always about the price, but if that horse is 6-1 or higher, I think it's interesting from a pace perspective.
Let's move to the 11th race. It's the Honey Fox Stakes, Grade 3, mile on turf. First of 125,000 for fillies, mares, four-year-olds, and up. Chris, where did you land here?
Well, this is clearly, this is a Got Stormy is a Grade 1 horse in a Grade 3 race. So, she sort of towers over these horses if she runs her race. But if you remember last year, she did not run real well her first few races in the spring when she came back off the layoff. And so, I don't know if that was just something special and, for last year, and this year will be different, but, she may not fire anything near her best in this first start back. So yeah, it's hard to leave her off your ticket, but I don't think she's invincible. And to me, this race is a lot like the previous race, in that you have a horse in the 8, Jakarta, who looks like the horse is going to clear easily. And anytime a horse gets an easy lead in any race, it's dangerous. And Gulfstream Park on the turf, that's certainly the case. This is another horse you can say probably is a sprinter, not a router like Saif. But, the last time it routed, went a mile. Was on the dirt at Gulfstream and it went wire to wire. So, it can go a mile. And to me, if a horse can get a mile on the dirt, it can get a mile on the turf, especially when it seems to be plus turf anyway. So kind of the same way as the last race. But the thing nice about Jakarta is I think you're definitely get a big price in here on that horse. And with Kendrick Carmouche, there's no doubt what they're going to do with the horse they're going to send. Everybody knows they're going to send. Nobody's going to want to press the pace because they don't want to get, gutted early. And so maybe Jakarta can get loose and go wire to wire. So kind of in the same vein as the last race, I think Jakarta is a real interesting long shot in here, the 8 horse.
Jakarta, yeah, I assumed that the horse was going to get played, but I have not looked at the morning line. And she's 15-1, so nice angle there. Where did you land, Benny?
Like Chris, I think the race goes through Got Stormy, but you can't really, I don't think you can go out and single this one. Who knows what's going to show up? I can't imagine this being the goal anyway. I'm all about Feel Glorious, and this is a total trips play for me. This mare had nothing went right for this mare last time. If you watch the tape, she got chopped off early and she clipped heels and the rider like lost his balance badly right out of the gate when they came out of the chute. She was keen after that. She wasn't relaxed. And that lasted pretty much the entire trip. I mean, she was in between. She suffered a really bad steady going into the turn. And then she had to rally very wide against a slow pace. And as if that wasn't, bad enough, she lugged in at the top of the stretch. She lost her spot and then had to ease out and came over the top again and won clear. And she galloped out huge. It was a massive performance. I think the cutback is going to do her well. I think she's probably got a little more speed than what shows on paper. So I do think that she'll be forward versus some others. At least I'm hoping that she is, especially with the short break. A lot of times you get these turf horses that come off a break and they do show a little bit more speed than normal because they're fresh. So that's my hope. And I think she can get the job done if Got Stormy doesn't fire. So that would be my worry. Chris makes a good case for Jakarta. So I'll probably add that one as well. But yeah, all about Feel Glorious.
Okay. If Feel Glorious wins, you are going to feel glorious. And so will I, because I have that horse as a use. And I'll note that she's a bold upgrade by racingflow.com. I guess she must have chased sort of some speed favoring tracks, because my numbers aren't showing up in my formulator right now, so I can't see. But she was closing, so there must have been a speed favoring track. The horse I landed on is Zofel, and I didn't watch the replay, so I don't know how she finished that last race, but she won by over 2 lengths. I think that she got down to that level as a late 3-year-old, and then she ran twice fast enough to win, and she just got back to that after a freshening. I think she's the fastest horse besides Got Stormy, but she's got the race under her belt. So to me, I'm inclined to even single Zofel, but I did feel compelled also to add Feel Glorious based on the Racing Flow bold upgrade, which means, you know, twice she had bad pace scenarios. So I'm just going to keep it simple. That's all I got. I'm not too worried about Jakarta, but you know, if Jakarta wins, we'll be tweeting Chris. God, Chris is all over.
He's buying the beer at your restaurant if that happens.
Virtually, it will have to be virtually. Yeah, I like both Feel Glorious and Zofel, and I really liked Zofel in her last race. I thought she really towered over that field, and you know, she ran like she should. One thing to be a little bit careful about is Walsh is really good off the layoff, so you know, but you know, that horse was a lot to like. So and Feel Glorious, for all the same reasons, those two seem pretty clearly to be the ones, kind of the alternatives after Got Stormy. For me, the other horse I like besides Jakarta, you know, in terms of maybe could pull the upset, would be the 4-horse Resetta. Mm-hmm. I think is how you would say that. And this is a horse that started its career in Europe, did run one time last year here in the U.S. It shipped over, and something must have went wrong in that race, because it didn't ship back to Europe. It stayed in the U.S. and it hasn't run since. But now they come back with some good workouts in the Bill Mott barn, and you know, this horse clearly has some talent, clearly has a lot of upside. And it's the kind of horse that just could run a really big race off the layoff. So to me, there's a lot of unknowns there. 5-1 in the morning line certainly doesn't get you excited. I just would be really surprised if that horse really goes off at 5-1, but maybe it will. If it does, then it's probably not a bet, but that's the horse I think you just don't know how good it might be. It's, you know, it started its career off with a couple of wins in England, including a stakes race, you know, in its second start. So that's a lot of talent. It was in the John Gosden barn, Judmont horse, you know, a lot to like there, I think. So that horse could be anything, the 4 Resetta. It's, but you know, off the numbers, it's not going to win, but I'm projecting, you know, potential, you know, major improvement as a 4-year-old.
Hey, one thing that we haven't mentioned in this race is that they're not running on Lasix, and Got Stormy is not proven without Lasix. So that's a potential reason to go against her. And Zofel did win that last race nicely without Lasix, and Jakarta ran a clunker last race without Lasix. So that's just another angle to keep in mind when you're looking at these horses.
Yeah, and Resetta was running over in Europe without it, so that's another reason to think that she has a chance as well.
Okay, we'll move on to the 12th race. It's the Devona Dale. It's a Grade 2 mile on dirt for 3-year-old fillies running for $200,000. Benny, what did you think here?
Man, I'm going to eat chalk, I think. I I can't find my way around these top two. I'm assuming VQuest and Milfluel are going to be the overwhelming AB choices in this, and I just didn't see anything in here that got my interest. So I'm going to be Captain Obvious in this leg. You know, the only other one that I thought was mildly interesting would have been Hindsight. She ran well as a two-year-old, and she does get Tyler, which I think is interesting because if you look in the PPs, he does not ride for Victoria often. So at least not that I can see. So the fact that she's able to secure a top-notch rider when he's got relationships with other trainers, i.e. a guy like Mark Cassie, who trains Curlin's Catch, I thought was mildly interesting. But I think these two top choices tower over these. I thought there were just some cheapies in here that were taking a stab at moving forward. And I'm not a big fan of McPeak off the layoff with Crazy Beautiful, who will probably be the third choice. So that one was a toss for me. And I think those three were so much farther ahead than the others that, you know, I landed on Shock. So hopefully I get through this leg.
If VQuest is 7-5, well, that's a low price to take on her because the trainer does not do well off the layoff. Chris, where did you land?
Well, first of all, I'm going to wait until after the race is over to offer an opinion on Hindsight. Sorry, I had to throw that one in. Okay. Wow, man, tough crowd. Okay.
There's only two of us, so it's not a very good sample size.
Yeah, what I used to teach classes, and if you only had three people, jokes like that that's what would happen. But if you had 14 to 20 people, there were always a few people that were like, so we need to expand the podcast.
Yeah, I hate to tell you this, Scott, but those are the ones that we're trying to get on your good side so you give them a better grade. Okay. I'm actually with Ryan on this. To me, it's chalky. You know, VQuest is coming off a layoff, and this is definitely not the objective, and she's picking up some weight, but she was just really good and consistent last year. So, you know, she's probably going to win and she'll be over bet, which is the kind of races I don't like very much. And the problem is, even if she doesn't fire and you have, who are the ones that are likely to improve enough to beat her? They're the two favorites that Ryan mentioned, the 5 Milfoy and the 6 Crazy Beautiful seem like the obvious potential upsetters. And so I don't see a lot of value in this race. You know, you might be able to make a case for a bomb. The one horse I might say has a chance to, I don't know when, but maybe hit the board at a big price would be the 11 horse Penn Street, who is really bred to like stretching out and has been working out really well and has all kinds of upside. So, you know, that horse maybe is an interesting long shot, the 11 Penn Street. But to me, this looks pretty chalky with VQuest kind of by far the most likely winner, and Milfoy and Crazy Beautiful, the second and third wagering choices, probably kind of stand out above the rest as the potential upsetter. So not a lot of value for me in here. I'm kind of boring.
I almost think if you don't go against VQuest, it's just pointless to even play this pick five. The trainer's 1-32 at Gulfstream lifetime, and he hits at 9% off a 90-plus day layoff. Now, she did have a nice workout coming into this, so you know maybe she's that good. But like I'm only going to play this pick five if I can get around VQuest, because that's the only way it's going to be worth it, I think.
Well, let's take a minute at the end to talk about it, because I think this is sort of an interesting pick five from a how you approach it standpoint. So if we have a few minutes, let's do that.
Okay, sure. So, you know, given those numbers, that, you know, he can win this race and he'd be 2-33 at Gulfstream. So he'll still have a bad record and you're out of the pick five if you didn't include VeeQuist. So that is something to consider. But the two horses that I was inclined to use are first, Crazy Beautiful. I kind of like the that she ran a couple of fast races as a two-year-old, and she's working well. And Ken McPeak, I haven't looked up his exact numbers because the layoffs, it's a wonky number, certain number of days layoff. But she's working well. She has her best workout coming into this. And if she's developed at all, she's right there. So, you know, he's got Robbie Alvarado, and Robbie won for him on Swiss Skydiver. So to me, that's an include horse, and she will be a solid 6-1. She may be the third choice, but VeeQuist is going to be seriously bet. So I would include Crazy Beautiful. And then the other horse is the one that Benny mentioned, Hindsight. Improved slightly from first race to second race. Trainer gets Tyler Gaffleone, who's ridden for her only once, Lifetime, according to Thoroughgraph. And, like you said, Benny, he's doing really well at Gulfstream right now. And the fact that he's even riding for her is a good sign. Now, the one thing I will say is she hasn't even hit the board at the Gulfstream meet this week and on this meet. And she also, the horse doesn't seem to be working particularly fast. And I would like to see the horse working kind of like Crazy Beautiful, like working gangbusters. But I do like the feel of her line. So, you know, 6-furlong race, then a 7-furlong race, winning the 7-furlong race pretty well. I would try to go skinny and just see if I can have like an action play pick five here.
You know, the one thing I might add, you know, we're talking about the pick five, so this horse wasn't an include because I don't believe that she can win, but Happy Constitution is mildly interesting to me underneath. Like if you're going to play some verticals, she seems like a horse for course to me. She ran a really nice race, although getting beat by Cone Lima, who, if I'm not mistaken, is a multiple stakes winner. And then she broke her maiden by five next time as the 1-5 favorite after having some trouble at the start. And then she's got excuses in her next three, a sloppy track and then two turf courses. That trainer's been on fire for a very long time. So she's interesting to me. It will likely be a huge number underneath. So if you're looking at verticals, she might be one to include. And she's got an interesting work pattern off that layoff as well. It seems to be pretty steady, nice slow works. I think she'll have no problem getting a mile. And I don't know what the morning line is, but I'm assuming it's got to be big.
Wait, which horse?
Happy Constitution, the 10. 20 I think
to 1. It was 20 to 1.
20 to 1. Okay.
Yeah, speaking of hot trainers, if you want to play the hot trainer underneath in the exotics, you could play the 8-horse Adios Trippy. Yeah. Now, Peter Walder, I think, has won like 8 straight races or something crazy like that. So
92 now. He's up to 92 consecutive wins in a row. That's what it seems like anyway.
Okay, hey,
every time Pete calls a race, he says, hey, he did it again. He's won 47 straight races. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to add one other note on Hindsight. She's actually been working at Payson, so those workouts are going to appear slower than at Keeneland. It's known as a slow workout track, and she's got two bullets coming into this race. That gives me encouragement. That makes me think, you know, yeah, she might actually be ready. So imagine that pick five without VeeQuist and with Hindsight. So
I'm imagining me in Hawaii now. Is what I'm imagining.
Definitely. If it came in, that would look really good in Hindsight.
There we go. Oh,
tough crowd, man.
I laughed.
Okay.
Okay. So. I guess we're done with that race. I think we're done with that race. Let's go to the 13th. It's the Very One Stakes, Grade 3, mile and 3/16 on turf. Purse of $125,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Chris, what do you think?
This is like the first race in the sequence. This is a really wide open race. One of these turf races where probably trips and racing luck will determine the outcome. I'm going to go with a horse that I've been a fan of and cost me a lot of money. Well, not a lot of money, but I bet several times last year, never got a good trip or a good ride. And then something went wrong and it came off a layoff for this race. And that's the 11 horse Dominga, who gets Castellano, who's been on a lot of the horses that I like in the sequence, has to overcome a tough post. But this horse has a lot of talent. She showed a lot of talent as a two-year-old. And her last race at Tudor was really a really impressive race where she overcame trouble to win. And since then, she just hasn't really had a good trip. She might be the kind of horse that just finds trouble, but I like the rider switch. I like the layoff. And you know, Brad Cox is pretty good at bringing him back off layoffs. And if it wasn't for the post, I'd really like her. But from that post, it'll be a little bit dicey, but maybe you get a better price because of it. So in a pretty wide open race, I'll go with the 11 Dominga. I think has a lot more talent than she showed last year as a three-year-old. Could be ready for a good four-year-old campaign, and hoping that she starts it off right away, right off the bench in this race at double-digit odds.
There is an MTO, so she'll actually start in the 10 hole, and that's a little bit better. Benny, what did you think?
You know, I was four deep in here. I agree with Chris. This is a difficult race, similar to the one that we spoke about earlier. I've got 2, 4, 6, and 9 in here. The one that I like the most is probably the other Mott. He's got a couple in here. But I watched this one on tape, and she really looked like a good mover. She exploded.
You're talking about Warlike Goddess?
I apologize. Yes, number 9, Warlike Goddess. This field was very compact. She had a nice journey up the rail and never had to leave the fence, so that's a little bit of a negative in terms of the trips. But she stretched this field out. I mean, they were really stretched out in the stretch. And the last 3/16 or so, she was unbelievable. And she galloped out big, and you watch her on the head on, and she's got really, really good action. I think she's going to be special. So like her, not a big fan of the rider, but he has ridden her before, so he's familiar with her. So she's my top pick. I also thought the 6 was interesting, the Chad Brown, although just with the connections, I expect this one to be short. It's a logical spot to ship. I want to say these Germans, in terms of breeding, they're not allowed to use Lasix ever. Otherwise, they can't breed there, if I'm not mistaken. So she might be a nice broodmare one day, but the fact that she gets to run with no Lasix, and she's done it before. She ran against boys in a Group 3 at Longchamp and was only 7-1, which is a monster race. Chad does well with fresh horses. That work pattern I really like as well. He's not one to throw out bullets typically off a layoff. He usually has nice, steady half-mile works, 5/8 works, and that's a very fast one. So a hint of talent. That would probably be my second choice. Then I've got a couple others in here that I think will get nice trips, those being the 2, Bell Laura, who's been proven going over the surface. I think she'll run all day, and she will be forwardly placed, gets a nice rider upgrade. So I think she's a use. And then from a tapes play, I had a very difficult trip on Tuned. So that one will be a use for me as well. I could have seen that one actually winning the race with Zofel. That one was that troubled. It's kind of got a nice view of the parking lot in that one, and chased a nice one in Zofel. So this card itself, there are a lot of horses where you can peek back and check to see which races are strong. So that's important to note as well. We'll have some hindsight in looking back at that race, because Zofel will run earlier. So we'll see if that race is live or not.
Okay, one thing I'll note about Chad Brown, I just noted it while I was handicapping. He's only hitting at 15% at Gulfstream right now for the whole meet.
Some of these guys, they really target it, and some they don't. This doesn't seem to be one that he's targeted well, but it's a big day. These guys always show up on the big days, so I don't have a problem with the fact that he's been cold at this meet so far.
Yeah, he does not like the Gulfstream Park turf course, and he just doesn't like it. So he doesn't gear up a lot of his horses for this meet. You know, he's just using the training track at, I don't know where he trains, at Palm Meadows or whatever, and getting his horses ready for Belmont or in the spring, I think. But that's why the numbers aren't so good. I think when he does run them, they're probably ready to go here at this point.
Yeah, I think in the past I've had a lot of success keying in on Chad Brown horses that are running off a layoff at Keeneland, because he's waiting for that lush turf course for some of these horses. And, you know, maybe that means he's not as impressed with California Queen. I don't know. Anyway, the I think it's a pretty wide open race, but the two horses that I am absolutely using are Belle Laura, who's 3 for her last 5 and ran a small top in her last, and seems to, she's on, and she finished 3rd in her last. She got a perfect trip. I haven't seen the replay, but it looks like she had a nice inside trip. You know, maybe she'll appreciate the stretch out. And then the other horse that I like is Tuned, and it's nice to hear that Benny likes, has her with a bad trip, or, you know, overcoming trouble in her last race. It gives me a little bit more confidence because she's just about the fastest, and she was going to ship to Fairgrounds for a race. I don't know why she didn't ship. I haven't read the story yet, but I like it better that she's staying here and running at Gulfstream.
Yeah, I think, I don't know for sure, but that was the card that was really in doubt whether they would even be on the turf that day. So they probably just didn't want to ship and end up having it come off, would be my guess. You know, if you remember that, we handicapped that card. That was the Risen Star card. Yeah, I like Tuned. Probably that's another horse I like besides Dominga. The other one you haven't mentioned, either one of you, that I like is Heavenly Curlin, who last was a little bit disappointing. You might say this horse is a synth horse, and it might be, but its race 2 back was really impressive. And sometimes these horses take a little while to acclimate to, you know, going from Canada to Florida in the wintertime. Maybe the horse just needed a race to get settled in, and if it can run back to that race, its last race at Woodbine, it definitely could win in here. So I think Heavenly Curlin's real interesting at 8-1. Definitely I'm interested in if it stays that price or higher. So the 5 Heavenly Curlin is a definite use for me, along with the 11 Dominga and the 4 Tuned, and probably a couple others that you guys have mentioned. This is kind of a wide open race. It's one where I don't think you want to play a favorite, which is why I'm a little bit worried, nervous about California Queen, is with the connections, she might get bet down. And, you know, to me in this race, you don't want to take a short price.
You know, if I could toss this in, Chris, Heavenly Curlin had a really rough trip last time, was my note, that she was advancing and she was moving real well, 3 and 4 wide into the turn. And then she got stuck in a box and got shuffled really bad. So she was moving and then had to go all the way back to last, and actually ran very respectable to get up into a non-threatening position. So that last race may not look as bad as it appears on paper. None of that is mentioned in the PPs, but she had a rough go. The last comment I said was a very difficult trip overall.
That's a good to hear. Also, it was 1.5 miles. And, you know, that was farther than she'd ever gone. Now she cuts back to 1.3 miles, and her really good race was at 1.25 miles. So that's even more encouraging, the trip note you had there. I hadn't looked and went back and watched that race. So it's good to hear.
We'll move on to the marquee event. It's the 14th. It's the Basic Tipton Fountain of Youth Stakes, Grade 2, 1/16 on dirt, purse of $300,000 for 3-year-olds. And if I'm correct, they changed this to 1.8 miles for the last couple of years. Did they just switch it back to 1.16 miles?
I think it's always been 1.16 miles. I think it's the Florida, you know, the Florida Derby is a mile and an eighth.
I think the last couple of years it was they stretched this one out, and because they, I don't know, for some reason they did. And I think they've decided to backpedal and go back to a mile and 16th. Maybe I'll look that up while you guys are talking. But
yeah,
I seem to remember that. I seem to remember it being like, hey, really? They're going to do that now?
They did that in Louisiana. They stretched out the preps, but I don't think they did that in the Fountain of Youth. Yeah, check it out, but that doesn't ring with me as
I'll
being.
Check it out, and we'll have Benny get us started on this race. Benny, where did you land?
I like horse quite a bit in here. I think he's going to be a big number. I think that there's a lot of speed in here. The rail's got speed. He's going to send. He is rateable. Drain the Clock is rateable. He rated last time, but he's just too fast. I think Prime Factor is going to inject some speed into this race. I think they're going to set off early. I really like King's Ovation. I think there are a couple logical closers, one of those being Tarantina, or rather Greatest Honor. I thought Greatest Honor had a perfect setup last time. Going into that race, it was a lot of speed on paper. He was the only closer in the race, or at least the only logical closer in the race, and he took full advantage of that to win easy. He's forging, and he can win, but if you watch King's Ovation last time, he's really making a nice move nearing the top of the stretch and gets kind of stymied in between. And while it looks on paper that he ran evenly after that, he kind of did, but he had to regather his momentum. His gallop out was massive. He just ran right past Drain the Clock right when the clubhouse turn arrived. This probably wasn't the goal anyway. I think today probably was. I think more ground, based on that gallop out, I believe more ground was the right play for him. So I don't think he was cranked in his last race. So I do like King's Ovation a lot. And then I also think Tarantino is going to get a nice stalking trip on the outside of the two rail horses. So he did all the heavy lifting last time. He went fast. He was game to stick around and hold that place position. So he's my B in here, but I could even single King's Ovation here. I think he's got a big swing at what should be a nice big price.
Nice, nice. I will say I was wrong about the distance, at least recently, but they did run this race in 2005 through 2008 and also from 2010 to 2011 at a mile and an eighth. It's weird. I mean, they did it for 6 years, six out of 7 years. And, but I just sensed, I feel like they just switched back, but they actually switched back in 2012.
Well, that was only 8 years ago.
Well, you guys off air, Scott, you can give Chris your routing number and an account number and send him that dime that you guys made a wager on for that distance.
Did we bet 10 cents? Did we bet 10 cents on that?
I thought it was 10. Yeah. 10 Benjamins. Okay. All right. Let's see this race. Greatest Honor will be the big favorite. He did seem like he got the perfect trip last time. He draws outside. A mile and 16th configuration, it does not do any favors for horses on the outside or horses that come from behind, because they start close to the turn, so you could get caught wide pretty easily. And they finish on, I think there's two finish lines, and I'm pretty sure this race is at the first finish line. So that would favor front runners. So, I know, to me, Greatest Honor, he's going to be a big underlay, and you know, maybe you can beat him in here. I don't think he's invincible, like it seems to be the opinion, at least out on racing Twitter. So I think you might get some value playing others. I'm, you know, Drain the Clock on the rail. He did look like he could rate, and he is bred to go long, and his trainer does real well stretching him out. So I wouldn't discount Drain the Clock from the rail at this distance, even though he hasn't been the distance. It kind of depends on what you know, Benny was saying that we are, you know, what's the pace going to be? Will Prime Factor try to go? Will IRAD try to push the pace? I think he might not, just because the horse came up empty last time. They may be a little nervous about trying to, you know, press the pace, and their strategy may be, you know, we're going to try to take back, drop over, you know, and let and cede the lead to others. And if they do that, I don't know if anybody else is in this race can go with Drain the Clock. So I think Drain the Clock's kind of dangerous, sort of the obvious, and probably will be the second choice to Greatest Honor. But the bomb I like, you know, King's Ovation's kind of interesting. And I kind of like the trouble with a good gallop out past Drain the Clock last time. That's an interesting angle. But the one I'm going to go with will be, you know, maybe even a bigger price. And that's the 3 So-So Subtle. And, you know, he's been the distance. And he ran, you know, won really easily in his first try on dirt, first try routing. And he will be finishing up strong, and he's been working really well since his last race. And he has, you know, all kinds of upside, and he drew a good post. So he ought to be on the inside, saving ground early. And if they do go fast late, you know, he might surprise people, you know, with a big kick late. So, you know, I'm kind of interested in So-So Subtle as, you know, a big long shot in here, sort of on the same kind of along the same lines as King's Ovation. Just I kind of favor So-So Subtle a little bit more, with a little more upside, and he's already been the distance, and he has a good inside post.
Very interesting. Well, I'm going to go with two horses that I would have to play in the pick five if I play it, and the first is Prime Factor. This is the second time two turns, and Pletcher was saying before the last race he was looking for an allowance race for Prime Factor to get his first start around two turns, but none ever filled. So he was bet, and he flamed out, but he did improve a little bit, his figure. And now he's second time two turns. I mean, to me, this is exactly now is the time you want to bet him. And he got completely spanked by Greatest Honor. So to me, Prime Factor is an absolute must use. And the second horse I would absolutely also use is Fire at Will. The horse has won 3 in a row. His first race, I don't remember what the issue was, but like it doesn't count. The first race never counts for me. He's already won on dirt. I haven't watched the replay of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, but like he won it pretty handily, as I recall. And I just love the action on this horse. I mean, to me, this is just a running son of a gun. And he might be higher than 7-2, the 7-2 morning line. I don't know how, you know, it's Carmouche and he gets respect from New York players, but like maybe he's going to drift up. Now, on the Sport of Kings site, under the odds, he's 4-1, and Prime Factor is also 4-1, and Greatest Honor is 3-1. But you know, the Greatest Honor is actually going to be more like 6-5, 7-5 in this race. So, you know, we might get a price on either Prime Factor or Fire at Will.
Yeah, I've nothing bad to say about a Breeders' Cup champion, but I'll take a stab at it. The only race that he won on dirt, you know, it was a 4-horse field, and he may have been the longest shot on the board. He you know, he broke his maiden against stakes horses, which was nice, but it was over the sloppy. I think they might just have some Derby fever. They've got a nice horse, and they want to see if he can. I think it's an experiment. Is kind of my feeling. But I suppose he wouldn't surprise. He's got the talent. I question his ability to get over the dirt course versus a turf course.
Yeah, I'm absolutely 100% in your camp on this. I don't like Fire at Will at all. This is a horse we got to try him on the dirt. You know, you got to try him on the dirt. He's bred for the turf. He's got a turf trainer. His dirt win was on a sloppy track in a 4-horse field. His turf numbers aren't nearly fast enough to win this race. He's coming off a layoff. He's carrying high weight. Man, this horse, and he probably will be the second choice, maybe, or at least close. I don't like that horse at all. That's a complete toss for me, the four horse Fire at Will. So I'm totally, you're out number 2-1 on this one, Scott, but that's a, maybe that means you will get a price. Who knows?
Well, I want to inflate the payoffs for you guys when you hit the pick five.
Yeah, to me, this is Derby fever is the right term. I mean, this is we got to try him on the turf, on the dirt, you know, and see what happens. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. But this is a horse that, I loved that October 3rd race, the Pilgrim. I loved the way he won that race. And then he wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at 30-1, and he doesn't even have the lead, which is great. So like, he's tractable. To me, this horse hasn't proven that he can't run on dirt. And
if he was 20-1, that sounds like a good argument. At 7-2, it sounds like a complete play against. He did kind of wipe out half his competition going into the first turn in that Breeders' Cup race too. He cut over and cut off just about half the field. Mostly the real contenders
were. Hey, it helps that he's a little wily as well.
That's right.
Well, so what do we think the chances are of Greatest Honor like flaming out? I mean, he ran a big number in his last race. And he could react to it, but it also wasn't a huge, gigantic number. What do we think the chances are that he's going to run a clunker this time?
I don't think given the barn, he's probably not going to run a clunker, but he could get hung wide carrying extra weight, and he might regress a little bit. So it doesn't take that much to lose this race. He doesn't tower over these horses, especially when you figure a couple in here are going to make big moves forward this time of year. So, I think he's definitely beatable, but he's not because I think he's going to run, a real clunker and just, finish back in the pack. It's just because he's not that much faster, and he's going to be spotting ground and weight to a bunch of horses, some of whom are probably going to improve quite a bit off their last race.
Yeah, I think he's logical, and he wouldn't surprise me one bit. The first angle that I had with King's Ovation is I do think there's some speed in here with the 1, the 2, and the 7. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this race plays out from a tactical perspective. But the reason why I'm not going to use that horse is because the race earlier with VQuest and Mill Fuel, I don't even know,
Milfoy, I think,
correct?
Is how you say
that. Okay. I think a chalk's going to win that race. I want no part of a pick five that's going to land on potential obvious singles in two different legs. So that's the reason why I went against this horse, primarily because it was, it's a ticket writing deal more it is than if the horse is eligible to win or not. And I love King's Ovation. I mean, if you watch that gallop out, some gallop outs, you just see horses, they gallop out in front, and it can be all about a pace scenario where everyone else is backing up and it inflates the gallop out, and it's a counterfeit one. This is not the case. This horse was running through the clubhouse turn, like really running, like trying. Wanted every bit of flying past during the clock. So I think that's important. And I'm hoping I get the pace and I have a shot at Greatest Honor, because I think he can run a move.
Well, in King's Ovation, the trainer who I'm surprised that Chris hasn't bashed him in this race. He usually does.
Yeah, he's a little unreliable.
Dale Romans. But he actually has a positive ROI first time route. And this horse has 3 7-furlong races to prepare him for his first time going 2 turns.
Yeah, if it was in Kentucky, I'd be a lot more interested in King's Ovation than in Florida. Dale Romans, especially 3-year-olds, it's just like they're 2 different animals in Florida versus Kentucky. So, but when the price gets high enough, I don't bash, I don't bash those horses as much as when he's got a horse like, who was the horse last year? Dennis's Moment. That horse was just a major play against in Florida to me. I mean, those are the kind I really want to bet against. But when he's got a price horse, I'm not quite as negative. And Ryan makes some really good points. I'm going to have to go back and watch that gallop out that he talks about. You know, for
and
me,
it's after he lost. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the gallop out is massive, but it's after a re-rally as well. He was making up a nice ground through the turn, and Corey looked to split horses, and he kind of got jostled while in between and totally lost his momentum. So from the top of the stretch to the clubhouse turn, he got his momentum back, and it makes that gallop out that much more impressive. But yeah, give it a look. I'd love to hear your impressions of it after you do.
And with regards to Greatest Honor, to me, this horse looks like a Belmont horse. This horse is really bred for the Belmont. It's kind of the grinder type. You know, I'm not so high on this horse for the Derby, but this is the kind I could see winning the Belmont. If you had a Belmont future, you know, this horse is the kind that logically would fit in that race.
Well, so since you mentioned it before, what do you think approaching the pick five, what angle were you interested in discussing on this one, Chris?
Well, it's a little bit extension of what Benny was saying on, to me, there's three horses that are going to be standout odds on in this sequence: God Stormy, Vequist, and Greatest Honor. So, and then there's two obvious Fred races. So what you don't want to do is play single, all. That's sort of the ticket structure everyone's going to play in this. You got to somehow get off of that. So if you really think those three singles are unbeatable, you know, Vequist, God Stormy, and Greatest Honor, they're going to get it done. You know, they're standouts. Don't play like all in the spread races. You know, do one of two things. Either I would zero in on a cut. Just play a small ticket and zero in on a few horses you really like in both races, and just, you know, play a $20 pick five. And if you hit it, you'll get some payback. But if you do the all thing, you're going to give up all your equity and you're not going to win anything. And even if you hit a long shot and those spread races, they don't pay as much in the pick five as you think they will, because everybody's spreading in those because they saved all their money by singling the three obvious favorites. So one way to play it, if you really like the favorites, is just play a small ticket, but go for price horses, or if there's a shorter price horse you really like, single that one as well. But don't throw in the favorites in a spread ticket in both of those spread legs with those three horses, because that's just, you make cash, but it's just a terrible bet. So that's number one. A better way to play it is to try to beat at least one of those horses. So if you're going to play it, only play tickets where you've got one of those three beat. And ideally, you know, I would be a little more aggressive and try to beat two of the three, but at least make sure your ticket beats one of those three big favorites. And then you might get paid some for your efforts. But, you know, what you don't want to do is kind of the obvious single, spread, including short prices in your spread races. That's a horrible ticket construction. That's what a lot of people are going to do, and that's what you want to avoid. So that's kind of my major opinion in terms of how you structure that pick five. You guys can jump in with any ideas that you have.
Well, I'm in a good place, because I'm probably going to use King's Ovation as a single on my main kind of caveman ticket. Maybe I'll play some A and B's in the others, but you know, when you like a price as a single, I think you gain a lot elsewhere. So even with a couple of those other logicals, I can weight them correctly. And if I can get to King's Ovation, I'll have a chance to make a score. So that's kind of where I lay as far as the pick five goes. And if I bust up early, I'll probably just either make a win bet on him or wait a double and Dutch it with the four that I liked coming out of the very one stake. So I guess I'm either going to be in Hawaii sipping a Mai Tai, or I'm going to be calling you, Scott, so that you can buy me a beer at your restaurant in L.A.
You know, I actually had a Mai Tai for the first time at that restaurant in LA last night. So it was really good.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, there you go.
So how about you, Scott? Anything on the pick five?
Here's the thing. I don't think it's a very good pick five to play because some of that chalk is very – it's hard to toss. I mean, Gottstormy, she's vulnerable because she didn't win last year off the layoff. But at the same time, she's so much faster than those horses. And she has a pretty serious fast workout, like a 57 five furlong turf work coming into this. So, like – She could win, and Vequis could win, and Greatest Honor could win. None of those horses, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally against that horse. So I would probably not want to play this pick five. However, just because I do this podcast, I want some action. So I'll probably do, I'll probably do an action pick five, which will be like under $100, and won't include. I have to decide how to play it, but maybe there's an action pick five where that doesn't include any of those favorites. I know I'm throwing my money away, but my advice is like just don't even play this pick five.
Yeah, I just want to make one other point that a really good point that Benny brought up on the his singling his long shot, King's Ovation. That horse really will be, like, if it's 15-1 in the race, it might even be higher than that. It'll be higher than that 15-1 in the pick five, just because people will be all over Greatest Honor. A lot of them be singling that horse. And if not, they'll be going to some of the logical alternatives like Fire at Will or Drain the Clock. So when you have a long shot in a race like that, you really get paid in the pick five. But if you go to the prior race, that sort of wide open race with the fillies and mares on the turf, if you get a horse that's 15-1 in the morning line there, I'm trying to find one. Let's just say my Dominga, that 12-1 I had, Dominga that I like, it's kind of similar horse. That horse isn't going to be as big a price in pick five because lots of people will be spreading in this race. So they will be, and there's no obvious heavy favorite. So you're not getting the same value from a 15-1 shot in a spread race that you get in a non-spread race. And that's something to keep in mind when you're trying to build equity in your pick five tickets. It's a really good thing to keep in mind because a long shot isn't played the same way in the pick five necessarily as it is in the win pool. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and I actually like your angle. I like your strategy of trying to beat one favorite. I don't know if I would try to beat two of those favorites, but that is a way you could tackle it if there's horses that you like, right? I don't think that there's horses here that I love so much. Like, if I loved Blameless to win at 15-1, then like I could say, like, hey, I want to cash this pick five because I think Blameless is going to anchor it. And, maybe I have the strategy with King's Ovation where you single Blameless and you have all three of the other favorites because it's still going to pay something. But it's not going to cost you that much because you've singled Blameless in a spread race. So that's another way to approach it.
Yeah, I agree. If you want to narrow it, just don't play spread in both spread races, including the chalk, and then single all those favorites. Or something close to that kind of ticket structure. That's what everyone's going to tend to do. And that just is not a good long-term. That's not a good way to make money playing the pick five.
Okay. Any other opinions on the nine other races on the card? Or maybe it's nine other races.
I got an opinion at Santa Anita.
Okay, yeah, well, throw it. I mean, if it's something you like and you think people should go out of their way to investigate, yeah, what do you got?
All right, so let me pull up my form here. There is a horse. Scratch. Sorry, I wasn't really prepared. Might have to edit. Okay, yeah, you're gonna have to.
You go ahead and look, because I have one other opinion on this card, so I'll talk about that while you're looking up your notes on the Santa Anita race.
Well, I thought there was an okay, go ahead. Sorry, yeah, I found it, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry, if you've got it, go for it.
I think there's an interesting horse in the seventh race at Santa Anita named Cousin Eddie. It's a sneaky troubled trip. The horse is going to be a big number. I'd encourage anyone to just go look at the trip, because he kind of lost his position, was not persevered with. And Ellis is, he's very good at spotting these horses. He takes a small dip in price, or in class rather, and he's going to be a big price at the window. So Cousin Eddie in race 7 at Santa Anita will be one of my plays on Saturday.
Okay, Cousin Eddie, Sandy is 7th. Chris, what do you got?
I, in the 9th race, the one prior to the sequence that we just talked about, I've always been in the camp that said performers are really overrated horse, so I always want to try to beat that horse. I've always felt Tax is kind of overrated, and I've got them both in the same race, so I'm really interested in the race. There are two horses. One's a really live long shot. I like Wind of Change, who could be 40-1 at post time, the 7 horse in the 9th race. I think it's another one of these horses that could get loose early. And the horse is a quitter for the most part, but again, going a mile, sometimes if they get loose early, they can relax and run better than you'd think. And last March, this horse went a mile and won at Gulfstream, and it beat a horse named Network Effect, who's a stakes caliber horse. So he can beat a good horse going this distance at this track when he gets loose early. And his last race was just a miserable start, had no chance. So you can toss that. And I think it could easily clear in here. I don't think they're going to want to chase it with Tax on the front end. I don't think Tax can stay with him anyway. And I'm guessing Tax may even scratch out of this race for a race in Tampa. They're saying they want to go out for a longer distance, but I think they're afraid of running him without Lasix, because he's never run a jump without it before, and he'll be without it again in this race. So Wind of Change is real interesting in that race as a possible bomb on the front end. And if that horse does get tired, the 5-horse Fearless is a comebacker for Pletcher, the kind he always does well with, had a lot of talent, could fire right off the bench. Won't be a big price, but you might get some value if Performer and Tax get bet heavily. So I, you know, in the 9th race, think the 7-horse Wind of Change is really interesting bomber, and Fearless is kind of a possible value play depending on how they bet the race and who actually enters at post time.
Okay, so a couple of spot plays, one at Gulfstream, one at Santa Anita. I think we should wrap it up, so I'd like to thank our guest, Benny Southstreet. Benny, thanks for getting up early to do the pod with us today.
You got it. I'll see you in Hawaii after Ovation wins. I'll buy the plane tickets. We just got to get COVID tested, so be prepared to get your test ready. They don't let you fly to Hawaii unless you've been
scheduled your test appointment now. For Sunday morning, and get ready to take that flight.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks.
Right, that will conclude show number 109 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck in the Gulfstream Late Pick 5, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Isles on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.